The following podcast discusses topics about mental health struggles and illnesses, including depression, bipolar disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder, suicide, trauma, panic attacks, and self-harm. If you are sensitive to these topics or find them triggering, please continue listening with caution. If at any point the conversation is too much or you feel like you need to talk to someone, know that help is available. You can call the Guam Behavioral Health and Wellness Center 24-hour crisis helpline at 671-647-8833 or the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255.
Hi, and welcome to the Everything's Cherry podcast, where we have casual conversations about mental health, mental illnesses, and everything that's connected to our mental health.
I'm CJ Ochoco.
And I'm Rizelle Almonds. And we are two girls who are from Guam, although CJ is right now in Nashville. And the reason why we call the podcast Everything's Cherry is basically, it's okay to be okay, to not be okay. Because the word cherry on Guam is very often used as a replacement for the word good. So people will say, it's cherry, everything's cherry, even if it's not necessarily cherry.
Right. And so, yeah, here everything's cherry, even though it's not. And that's okay, because it's okay not to be okay. So yeah, I'm CJ. I am one of the co-hosts. When I'm not podcasting, this is my first attempt, so excuse any kind of mishaps when I'm not attempting to be a podcast host. I run Breaking Wave Theater Company, which is based on Guam. I am the president of the company, and I also do the primary producing. And then my day job, and what's kind of having me here in Nashville right now, is I do work as an academic advisor, which is totally opposite from kind of my arts life, but that's me.
And I'm Rizelle. I wouldn't really call it a day job, just the thing that I'm trying to do every day is I am currently doing freelance film. And before I started just kind of, you know, trying to do it on my own, I was with the Guam International Film Festival for a number of years, which I know I'm not doing anymore, but it's such a big part of my identity and like was basically for a long time was just my entire adulthood because I started when I was 18. So I feel like it's important to mention my background.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is how we met too. So yeah. It is definitely important. So we kind of came together and decided we wanted to start this mental health podcast. Like Rizelle mentioned, we're here to talk about everything and anything mental health related, and we'll kind of get into it towards the end of the podcast on what exactly to expect. But before we do that, we kind of wanted to talk about why talking about mental health is important to us. And so we kind of wanted to dive into our personal lives and how mental health relates to us. So Rizelle, do you want to start?
Yes, I guess so. So for me personally, I've had to deal with anxiety for pretty much all of my life, all kinds, since I was a kid, and I didn't even realize it until I was adult. So, you know, the social, the separation, the just regular kind, like it was just like, it was very overwhelming for me, and I learned how to cope with it very early on. Like, you know, as a kid, sometimes I would, you know, just not sleep at night because I was really nervous about something, or like I had a tendency to kind of like close up about a lot of things because I just, you know, just the physical inability to just like talk about things. That's like how anxiety has affected me over my adolescence. I struggled with it for a very long time, but I didn't really recognize it until I had started going to therapy when I was 23, because when I was 21, like in my final year at college, I started to deal with some pretty major episodes of depression. Like it was pretty bad. I had to drop classes. I was really receding from people. There were times where like I couldn't physically get out of bed. Like I was just feeling pain all over my body, and so like it was really affecting like day to day, which I didn't even really deal with. I just kind of ran away from home. And I never talk about this like really, but that's why I left for Texas. So for a year I lived in Texas because, you know, I thought that like running away from the problems on Guam would like help me to cope with it better, and it did not. So when I came home, I was having panic attacks all of the time, and that's what led me to therapy. And I used to feel very scared of going to therapy because, and we're just bringing it home here, I have a family history of mental illness. I can tell you right now that my mom has bipolar disorder and obsessive compulsive disorder. And so that's really, you know, that really shaped how I looked at mental illnesses, even though, like, you know, it, you know, I did sort of some small kind advocacy as a kid, trying to correct people about what it means to have OCDs, things like that. For me, it scared me off a lot about seeking help, because I was convinced that if I sought help, that they would basically tell me that I have something serious. And I fear that so much that I didn't actively seek out a counselor until I was having panic attacks, like at least once a day, sometimes twice a day, which ended up with me finally being open to medication. And now I'm very like, if you need to be medicated, go ahead and be medicated. But this was something that I was just so scared of for so long because of my family history. And I think that's really important for me to note, because all of these things ultimately brought me to advocacy, right? Like I mentioned, growing up, watching the way that, you know, seeing the way that my mom would have to live her life and the way that people talk to her, I was very like passionate about like correcting my friends and talking to them about like, well, I don't think you should use that word. I don't think you should say that, because that's really, it's incorrect, and it trivializes serious issues that we could be talking about and having more productive conversations about. But I didn't start to talk about it more publicly, like on social media and stuff, and more with like people who weren't very close to me until 2013, when one of my family members was having an episode where it was becoming so serious, they were becoming a danger to themselves and to the people around them, that the police had to be called. So, I mean, it turned out fine. That person ended up getting treatment and it was okay. But a couple of days later, there was a police blotter about it. And they talked about the situation, very briefly described how it was de-escalated. But the very last line of the article, and I will never forget this, was that it is unclear how long this person has been out of mental health, the Department of Mental Health, which is now called the Guam Behavioral Health and Wellness Center. And reading that, it just set something off inside me, because that's just not how the Guam Behavioral Health and Wellness Center works. It's not an asylum. They don't keep the deemed crazy people there for their entire lives. It's an inpatient type thing. You know, people go in, get treated, and usually come out. And these people can walk amongst people in society. We don't lock them away for an undetermined amount of time. And that mentality, and like seeing how it's kind of perpetuated in things like, you know, in media, in TV shows, and how that really has shaped the way that people look at mental illnesses and the way we treat people who are struggling with mental illness, has really made me want to talk about it more and advocate for more understandings of what that means.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. I think everything you just said is so important. Talking about mental health is so important. And for me, it kind of, my journey with mental health and how I became a self-proclaimed mental health advocate is that in 2010, I was diagnosed with clinical depression and major anxiety. And at the time when I was diagnosed, I didn't know anyone else who had shared that they had been diagnosed. And it was a really hard time for me. It started after I got diagnosed, I realized that it had really started in my senior year of high school. I began to struggle with self-harm. And, you know, at the time, they made me see the counselor at school, but no one kind of gave me a word for what was going on. They were like, you know, you're just having emotional struggles. Like, you'll get there, you know, just think about how good your life is. Don't worry about these things. Don't let it stress you, you know? And it was a lot of pressure on me to just kind of just be okay with it, you know, just be okay and don't self-harm, which was obviously not helpful because when I went off to college in LA for my freshman year, I ended up struggling even more, culminating at the end of my freshman year where I attempted to suicide myself, which kind of led me to being placed in a psychiatric hold for about 5 days, where I was placed in a facility very similar to, as you mentioned, Guam Behavioral, where I was treated for 5 days as an inpatient, and that's where I got my first diagnosis. And kind of from there, it spiraled into a good 2-3 years where I kind of call them my dark days, but really where I struggled with my depression. I was placed in a lot of different medications to figure out the ones that would work for me. I was seeing therapists, and it was a really, really difficult time in my life. During that time, I moved back to Guam, and, you know, I ended up meeting a lot of new people, and every time I met new people, I would have this anxiety and this fear about them finding out about my depression. It became to the point where I was just so scared, you know. I was on medication that kind of made me sleepy during the day, and I wasn't even willing to share why I was so tired all the time. And I came to this point in 2014 or 2015 where I realized that not sharing my story was hindering my healing process, because I was just so afraid, and it was just kind of starting the cycle of like, ah, oh, these people are going to hate me because I'm depressed. Oh, I hate myself because I'm depressed, you know, and just this really negative self-talk cycle. So I decided one day to just write a blog post, and I posted it on Facebook. And even though a lot of my family members and close friends knew about it, it was something that I didn't realize a lot of other people didn't know. And so I had a lot of people reaching out to me and messaging me just saying like, thank you for sharing. And they would then share their own stories or share about their struggles with their family members. And it was just a huge turning point for me where I realized the power in sharing your stories and how sharing your story can help the healing process. And that was kind of when I decided to make this a goal of mine. I was so empowered by sharing my story, and I wanted to find ways that I could empower other people to share theirs too. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I'm in theater, and I love the arts, and I think the arts are such a powerful tool in sharing your story. And so that became my goal. And so the blog post turned into a class project, which turned into a film that we submitted to the Guam International Film Festival. Eventually, with Breaking Wave in 2018, we produced an original musical based off of that story about my experiences under psychiatric care and learning for the first time about my depression, and just seeing the amount of people that were impacted and encouraged to share their own stories has encouraged me to continue to find ways to empower people to talk about their mental health. Because, you know, when you talk about mental health, the other word you hear so often is the stigma, right? And the stigma surrounding it, and how people are afraid to talk about it, or it's just, you know, especially on Guam, right? And I'm sure we will have an episode about this later, but mamalaw culture, mm-hmm. right? The culture of shame and not wanting to share these things. And so that's why I became a mental health advocate. And I feel like this podcast is just a continuation of opening up those doors for people to share their stories. And so I'm really excited to be doing this.
Thank you for sharing, CJ. That's so great that you're so open to talking about it. And you're right, it is such a powerful tool to share your stories, which is kind of like the goal of this podcast, right? The both of us work in arts, or our passion is in arts, and we do believe how powerful that tool is and how sharing our stories through those tools can help make this kind of conversation more accessible and less intimidating, I guess, for a lot of people who are scared to share or to even ask about it, which is the whole point of this podcast. We hope that by listening to us and seeing that how open we are about it, and how open other people that we invite to come talk about it, that other people who have been scared, who have been too mamalaw to reach out to somebody or talk about it, will feel like they can talk about it and begin their own healing processes through talking about it.
And it's just so important to talk about it, because imagine a world where we can just walk into rooms and when someone asks, "Hey, are you okay?" you know, instead of just saying everything's cherry, you can actually be honest and say, "Hey,
And be like,
I'm not having such a great day," you know, and I
yeah,
think
exactly.
and I think taking little steps like making a
Right.
podcast can help towards that future where we can just be authentically ourselves. And, you know, with that in mind, I think part of this podcast is going to be inviting people on to share their stories.
Right. And, you know, not just people who are experiencing, you know, mental illnesses, because we definitely want to invite those people for sure, because I think that will help kind of clear up some of the mysteries about what it means to struggle with a mental illness. But we also want to make sure to include just, you know, people who are experiencing tough times or have thoughts on any kind of topic like relationships, their work day, their families, because all of these things, they're connected. They're connected to our mental health, you know. Our mind dictates what we see and what we do, and the things that happen around us and how we process them, you know, are directly related to those things.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think we also, you know, we'll want to have we're going to have licensed counselors and professionals on the show to talk about the professional side of it. Of course, we do preface that we are not mental health counselors. We are not licensed. And so we would definitely give room to those who are. And in addition to having guests with personal relations to mental health, as well as licensed professionals, I think something we'd love to see is just conversations about anything and everything relating to mental health, whether it's how mental health is portrayed in the media, or kind of like what we talked about earlier, how culture can affect our mental health. That's going to be on the list for things we're going to be talking about in the future.
Yeah, we have a long list.
We do. So we hope you support us so that we can keep talking about these things. And you know, if you're listening and you have any ideas of what we can talk about, definitely, you know, let us know.
Yeah, reach out, send us messages if you want to come on, or like send a voiced message to us that you want to share on the podcast. Let us know. We're totally open to sharing anybody's stories and anybody's experiences. 'Cause that's the point.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we start to destigmatize mental health by talking about it. And that's what we're here to do. We're hoping to release a few episodes throughout the year. Definitely stay tuned for that.
Yeah, and thanks for tuning in to this.
And of course, we also want to add that if at any point you feel like you need to seek help, we do encourage you to reach out. There are resources out there. There is, of course, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. And if you would like some local resources, the Guam Behavioral Health and Wellness Center, it has a 24-hour hotline, and they are an excellent resource and can be reached at 671-647-5440.
Actually, I'm just gonna really add really quick that the Guam Behavioral Health and Wellness Center, they just got connected to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. So if you call that lifeline, you can get connected to local resources also.
That is awesome and great to hear. And you know, if you don't want to call a lifeline, definitely there are resources out there. So if you want to shoot us a message as well, we can try to help find your resources. We're here to help.
Special thanks to Andrew Speed for sound editing, mixing, and creating our intro music. In honor of Mental Health Awareness Month, new episodes of Everything's Cherry will be available every Wednesday for the entire month of May. Please be sure to tune in and listen, or find our visual podcasts available on YouTube. Don't forget to find us and follow us on Instagram at Everything's Cherry Guam. We'll see you next time.